Darklord.
Welcome back to 321 Backlog, a podcast where two guys talk about Alex's recent addictomy. Oh, and we also cross off video games from our backlog.
I can't laugh. You say addictomy?
Addictomy, yeah. It's a surgery that you had.
It's very painful. I'm still recovering.
Yeah, but it looks good.
It's hard to laugh.
Yeah, well.
Oh, man. Glad to be back. It's been a minute. I'm not sure how editing's going, but I know I'm behind at the time of recording this, so. Oh, I'm trying to get back up to speed.
Do we want to talk about any of your recent life decisions? Why you got an addictomy? Briefly?
I've had an operation.
I've had an operation. Things are going smoothly. I don't know. That sounds weird.
I actually had to like brace my stomach. I did have a surgery. I had a pretty extensive hernia repair that is quite painful. And that's kind of what I'm dealing with right now. I just got, it was last week. I've been back at the house for almost a week, finally able to like move around a little bit easier than I was. So it's nice.
Feels great.
Feels good.
I'm gonna try to keep the energy high for you so you can.
I appreciate it. The only problem I foresee is laughter or something happening that I wasn't expecting, because
I'll keep high energy but I won't be funny. How's that sound?
that'd be impossible. Very, very helpful. It's been a minute. A little out of practice here.
Yeah, so
a little bit of an episode. We're gonna be we've talked a lot about this, about there being too many games.
Yeah. Well, we are not crossing games off fast enough, man. We're building our backlog faster than we can break it.
Yeah.
We're just honestly making the problem worse, because I wasn't buying games like I have been since we started doing this. So,
yeah. And so today we're going to be rapid fire. I had a little name for this, like, episode segment.
Freestyle 5x5 Friday fling.
Yeah. It was a $5 fiesta, $5 Friday. No, because
five guys, cause Fridays,
five guys. Fuck, on dude. Friday.
Oh, dude, we should be eating right now.
Yeah, no, or how about like a rapid fire frenzy or something? So we're gonna be playing games that, and I say we're gonna be playing because we, as of right now,
free game Friday.
We haven't played these games yet. We're actually going to take a break in the middle of our recording. We're going to go play these games, and we'll have some parameters, and we're going to come back and talk about these. These are games that wouldn't necessarily warrant a full episode by themselves. They could maybe fall into like a genre or something where you bring them up like in a greater discussion. So we've picked a few games that are a little bit smaller on both of our backlogs. We're gonna step away, we're gonna play them real quick, and then we're gonna come back and we'll talk about them and see, were they worth it, are we gonna keep playing them, and we're just gonna see how this goes. So I guess I do want to jump into our segment of what we've been playing.
There are things to discuss. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's take a quick break. We'll talk about what games we're going to be talking about later on in the episode, and what we're actually going to be playing later on in the episode. But we can maybe pause that for a second, and then we'll come back to it in a little bit.
Okay.
So have you been playing anything? It's been a couple weeks since we've recorded.
Yeah, I feel like I'm always gonna say this until I'm completely done, but I've played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth a little bit here and there, but more recently, I actually started playing the Ultra Violet Pokemon Game Boy Advance ROM hack thing.
All right.
I thought that would be kind of interesting to talk about. So it's Pokemon Fire Red Leaf Green, but they took both of those games and combined them and then made like a little bit of alterations to make it make sense. But all the Pokemon games, there's like exclusives to each version. This is both versions in one. You can catch every Pokemon. They make like a specific example. There's like a place where you can only catch Oddish or Bellsprout, depending on what version you have. They are both right in that area in this game. It also has all of the exclusive weird Pokemon that you can't get, because back then you would have to like go to like a Nintendo event to be able to get some rare Pokemon or something like that. So it's not, you don't have to deal with that anymore. They're just in the game in a place that makes sense. You get your one starter, but the other ones can be caught in the wild in specific areas later on in the game. So you can complete the whole game without having to deal with, like, just, you can't do it anymore. Like, if you bought a copy of Fire Red, then you wouldn't be able to fully complete the game in this day and age. So they made it, so it's using emulation. I've got a copy of both of those games, but yeah, it's kind of cool. It's an edited ROM. And
that's one thing I wish, because I played a lot of Red and Blue.
Yeah.
And the generation directly after that, I think, is when I stopped regularly, and it escapes me. Was that Gold and Silver?
It was.
After that, I've kind of dropped off, because, you know, they're marketing to like the next generation of players and all that. So I took a huge break from Pokemon until I think like Arceus. But one of the things I wish that they would have done or been able to do, or just some thing that they could have added to those original games or to any of them really, is the starter Pokemon. It was really frustrating that the only way you could get them was through that starter selection.
Yeah.
I think it would have been really, because it doesn't make any sense to me. I know why they're doing it, because it's like,
it's annoying.
It is annoying, but it's like, you know, we're going to let you, this is, you get a fondness for yours, you know, it's like, that's your starter. That's one, the only person that's going to have it in the whole game is your character for that playthrough, whatever. I think it would have been nice, maybe taking a beat from like newer games of like, things can change after you roll credits or something. So like, okay, you've rolled credits, you've done your Elite Four at the end. Okay, now your original three starter options can be like randomly caught in the wild or something. So
I think that's what happens with this one.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Or you could buy a second console and a second copy of the game and trade with yourself.
Nintendo would love, right? Yeah.
It would love that. And I think a lot of people had to do that, because especially then, like, I remember there were like events you could go to and trade with like other nerdy kids, you know?
Right.
And like hook your link cable up. I think it's how STD started, if we're being honest. There you go.
God damn it.
Wait, there was a Pokemon disease, Pokerus. It was like in the game. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's how you get it.
Gotcha. So yeah, that's cool. I've been wanting to do a Pokemon episode or bring up something for discussion in length.
Yeah.
On here. We just haven't got there yet.
It's coming, dude.
It's coming.
What about you, brother? I know I've played other games, but it's kind of, let me see if it shows up in my library what I've done. I played a little bit of the Crash Bandicoot games, like, I think I just had like that nostalgic morning and I wanted to play through them. So I played like a little bit of all four of them, and maybe like five or six levels of each of them, a couple hours, and just called it quit. Those games are hard as fuck, dude.
Yeah. I tried playing one of the Crashes that my wife was playing, and it's a lot harder than I remember.
It is, dude. I don't know, man. I'm not good at video games. I'll say that till I die, but good Lord.
I feel like the games, as they've gotten older, as we've progressed, and like, with gaming as like a hobby, they've gotten a little bit more forgiving with like when you can jump off things or where the landings actually start and like hidden pixels that are barriers, but you don't see them. So like they give you a little bit more
for modern modern like AAA title games for sure. There's always like those crazy platformers in general are just hard though. Like Ori was very tough. That's a newer game that we played. I think it's just the type of game. Shooters are always easy. You point and click.
Oh man, one of the games I've been playing over the last couple of days has a shooting element, and I played for about 10 minutes today, and I had just gotten up, and my let's just say my medication regimen for pain relief has changed as of this morning. I was a little less keen to just sit there and keep trying. It was getting a little frustrating, but anywho, so what I've been playing is I was at the hospital for, I stayed for 2 days because we were having some issues afterwards. Everything's fine. I'm here, obviously.
You lived.
But I brought a gaming laptop. I brought an iPad, had my phone with me. I had my Steam Deck with me. The whole time I watched YouTube videos on my iPad. That's all I did.
Child right now.
Yeah, I could not, like, I kept having, like, it's really rough to, like, have to, you know, do something mentally challenging at all in a hospital bed and then have to, like, pause your game to help have a nurse come and, like, help you to the bathroom. Like, I don't want to have to put that tech down and, like, oh, let's make sure I save it while you're here to help me as you put your gloves on. You know, it's just like, let me just leave all that in the bag. And I'll play games when I get home. But now that I'm home,
I play Quantum Break.
That's what I've been playing.
Dude, I feel like we've been saying the same couple games for so long.
Yeah. Hop back into Quantum Break for a little bit. I've actually put in a handful of hours. It's been a minute since I've looked at like the how long to beat and see how long I'm going to be playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But for what I think the story is going to be right now, I think I'm well over a halfway point in story, I think. But I don't know if it's going to have some weird left turn or something coming up. But I was able to do some pretty long stretches at the house since I've kind of, you know, just recovering for a couple weeks. So I don't really have much else to do. So that's been my main game that I've been playing. And then if that gets a little bit too much and I need a break, I've been hop back onto Heroes for a little bit. Haven't jumped in since our last episode. I have not jumped into World of Warcraft yet.
I haven't either.
I think I've been waiting, see if the gaming group is gonna, we all of our schedules have changed and all that. So I'm waiting to see if this is gonna be a game that if we're all gonna play it, are we all gonna play it kind of thing.
I know two of our friends are playing it pretty consistently.
Gotcha. Yeah. I think I've seen them on, but I've been like in the middle of something else or just haven't coordinated that time yet.
Right.
But that's been the main thing. I did I wanted to mess around with a platform a little bit. I finally got a controller up on the computer.
Hold that back up again. Let me see that guy.
It's a little knockoff Xbox One controller. It's a third party.
Wait, hold it up close. Let me see that guy.
Yeah. It's like a blue camo, like digital camo looking thing.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. So I found, I was going through my Epic Games library that I don't honestly remember to look at that client until Thursdays when they refresh their free games for the week.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a free game I got a while ago called like Fist, F-I-S-T.
All right.
So hold on. Recently played.
What website was that on?
It's called what's the thing where every letter is a word, an acronym?
Yeah.
It's an acronym. FIST. FIST. Forged. Colon. Forged in Shadow Torch. Okay. It's like a alternate reality. All the humanoids are like animals, like a bunch of furries. You play as You play as a rabbit that has a big mechanical fist arm on his backpack, and that's how he attacks stuff. So it's a lot of like punching, throwing your enemies, stuff like that. It's a couple years old. A lot of fisting, a lot of mechanical fisting. So I've been playing through that a little bit. There is a storyline, but I honestly have been just playing. That's been my I don't want to think about stuff game. So I've been playing that mainly with the volume off or almost all the way down while I watch a show or something. So I can like.
It's a good looking game visually, though. I'm just looking at screenshots of it, and it's a lot. It looks more realistic than I thought it was going to.
Yeah,
I thought it was going to be like 8-bit, 16-bit, whatever, but it looks kind of like Stray.
Yeah, it's a side scroll. It's 3D artwork, but it's from the side. So it's like side scrolling, Metroidvania, platforming, stuff like that. So only maybe 2 hours into it. Had a couple challenging bosses that I fought. I got two bosses in a row that were basically, they're like mini bosses, but they're like just a reskin of the same model, and their attacks were slightly different. So it looked a little lazy there. So we'll see how it goes. I might, you know, hop on again.
A $30 game, man. Good Lord.
It was one of their freebies. It's like I've had it in my library for a while, but just those two. I tried going downstairs where the PlayStation was and seeing what was on PlayStation Plus. Wasn't anything that was tickling my fancy, so I went with Fist, and I just need that's all you need in your life is a really good, strong, steaming fist. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's I'm glad you get your furry fix with Fist. Thanks.
Yeah, it's got a whole opening action sequence where this like sexy cat lady's like running through the sewers and shit. Like they and I only say that because like while she's doing all these acrobatic stunts and stuff, like the camera will slow down and it's panning over her feline body a little bit too long. It's like, all right, what are we doing here?
That's the kind of game you're like, oh, this, you know, I'll try it out, and then someone walks in and you have to like Windows key D, bring it to the desktop, even though you're not doing anything wrong.
Asking me why my pants are off.
Oh, shit.
The waistband hurts.
that's fair. Yeah.
Oh, man. So that's all I've been playing.
Well, at least I'm glad that you made excellent use of your time in the hospital playing video games extensively. Yeah.
In my head, I was like, I'm gonna play so much stuff. I'm gonna be like,
nah.
Yeah, hold on, nurse. Just give me a second. No, not even a thing. So
I get it anyway. Though. If I'm sick, like if I ever get a cold or some flu or some perhaps a variant of COVID, I always think I'm like, yeah, I'm not gonna work for a couple of days. I'm gonna hang out and just like, no. I get like one night where I like get on with the boys and I'm miserable. And then I die for like 3 days. So, yeah, I get it. It's not when you're not feeling good, you don't want to do something that's essentially taxing your brain or your body. Yeah. Should have played Wii Fit, dude. That would have been a good one for you.
That's week three of my recovery. So should we get into the meat of the episode and tell everybody what we're going to be doing?
If that's what you want to do, buddy.
So we are in just a few minutes. We are going to be for us pausing the recording and going to play five games for at least 5 minutes. And we're going to see, is that enough time to like say, you know what, I've experienced it. So we were trying to pick out games that had a couple of parameters. One, everything like the number five is a big thing for this little category. So it's got to hit at least one, maybe two of these. It's got to be under $5 or under 5 gigabytes. Very tiny. And we're going to spend no more than we're saying 5 minutes. But if it, you know, if it is really, really fun, we might play for longer.
Five hours. Easily
at least 5 minutes to get past, you know, like, well, and I don't count a tutorial in that 5 minutes. So we'll get the lay of the land in that and see, is that enough time to like really digest some of these games that maybe won't warrant an entire episode. So you and I are going to be, because we're not, we do record remotely, so we're going to be screen sharing to each other so we can kind of like watch each other play some of these games, because we're not going to both play both of them, or all five of them rather. There is one multiplayer, so we might both hop on that one. So James is going to play two, I'm going to play two, and then the last one appears to be multiplayer, so we're going to try and hop on it at the same time. James, what are the two games that you're going to be playing?
Two games, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be you got two, I've got two, and then we're going to share one.
Oh, okay. The first one, are we going to do it just in the order then? The first one I'm doing is 8-Bit Boy, which nice. I don't even know what it is. I think it's a platformer.
Okay.
Cool. Cryptark, I have not the slightest clue what that is. I downloaded it. It was very quick. No clue at all. And then you tell me your two games, and then we'll announce our...
And if you're wondering, why don't you know what these games are? These are games that are already in our backlogs. These could be from games that we got for free years ago, or, you know, we got a code from somewhere. It's just they've been sitting on our digital shelf for so long that we're just like, you know what, let's get into it and let's just knock them out. I have Floppy Knights and Cat Quest, the first yeah. one. And mm-hmm. then the fifth one out of our list is Cat Quest 2, which from what we looked at briefly, it says it's multiplayer. So I'm going to play the first one for a little bit, then we'll swap over to the second one, and we'll see what the whole multiplayer thing's about.
And are you familiar with those games at all?
Not in the slightest. All of these are, yeah, so Floppy Knights and both Cat Quests were free Epic games in the last couple of years, so I've had them for a while. Floppy Knights, I think I got in the last couple of months, but it was a freebie, so I think unless it's something I know 100% I will never play this game, and it's a free game on Epic, I'm gonna get it unless I know 100% I will never play it. I usually just put it in the library and I'll just leave it there, and I can say that I have it. So if you know, if anything, you know, 10 years down the line becomes a cult classic, I mean, all right, cool. Now I'll decide to play it. So awesome. So let's go ahead and get our little recording or screen sharing set up. We're going to leave you all here, and then we will be back for you in just a few seconds. And for us, we'll see how long it takes. So until then, we will talk to you in a moment. All right, we are back. What a the interesting experiment, I think,
yeah,
to say the least. So, man, okay. So we just got back from playing these five games, and we kind of alternated them. We thought we had a multiplayer option at the very end, but it was couch co-op, and it didn't quite work how we wanted, so we just played it individually. But first off, we jumped into 8-Bit Boy, but that was James's game. So what were your initial thoughts for that one?
It was what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a 2D platformer, side scroll, whatever. It was janky, definitely very reminiscent of, like, Mario was 100% the inspiration of it. You've got, like, the coins, you jump, you break bricks, you've got little power-ups instead of a mushroom to make you big and take an extra hit. You get a shield, there's, like, berries that you get that make you have shooting projectiles. It was a simplified version of Mario, the original 8-bit Nintendo Mario.
Right.
With a lot less precision in everything, like, the character felt flighty, floaty. It was like one instance where, like, I even told you, I was like, which brick do you think I'm going to break? And you're like,
yeah.
And then I did it and you're like, oh, not that one.
The hitbox didn't make sense. It didn't match where you were expecting.
Yeah. And there were, like, parts where I was standing on nothing, but technically still on a platform.
Right. Right.
And then there was just, like, cheap shit in it too. Like, oh yeah, there was, like, the spot. It looked like you could jump on something, but there was no way to tell that it wasn't something you could not jump on.
Right.
If you there was an enemy on the screen and you, like, backed off the screen a little bit to get, like, a better running jump start, the position of the enemy would reset because they left the screen, which I don't like at all.
Yeah, that I've had games do that and I don't like it.
No, it's stupid.
Yeah, it's definitely not a good thing. So it's, I mean, just because it's not on the screen, there has to be some continuity in what you're playing. yeah. even if it goes off
the screen. 8-bit Mario, the original one, you couldn't run backwards though.
Right.
So I don't know if that, I don't know. But, oh, another thing too, I feel like I'm bitching about the game. It was actually kind of fun. But another thing that it was weird was it loaded. It had really long loading screens. We're talking about a solid state NVMe hard drive that this was installed in. And just crazy long loading screens for a game on PC.
For what it was on the hardware we're running it, it was surprising there were loading screens at all. Like,
yeah,
you know, if the levels were, you were going to be in a level for like 10, 15 minutes, that's one thing. But you were in a level for 45 seconds. Like, it wasn't very long at all. So that was a little strange that there were loading screens to that degree at all. But I saw the jank from the passenger seat for sure. This was a 2014 game, or according to Steam, we're going to get most of our information off of Steam and Epic for these. And I think all of these we got for free in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, that was, to my recollection, the first free game I ever got. Like, ever.
Gotcha.
And I remember thinking, like, this is so cool, a free game. Yeah, well, it would be $7 normally. How do you feel about that price?
If I was buying it from like my kid, maybe I'd be like, oh yeah, I can spend $7 for something that's knockoff Mario, sure. But I don't know, I'd be hard pressed to find a reason to pay that for what we saw and for how it performed. I mean, it is performing like a $7 game, I guess. So there is that. But is that worth it? Because there are tons of games that are super inexpensive, if not already free, that perform so well.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. That's doesn't surprise me that it's that low, but I probably wouldn't want to buy it outright.
I do like platformer games, and I have to agree. I don't know. $7 seems a little steep for it. I'm looking at like video footage of it on the Steam page just because I was looking at the price of it. It looks really good in the video. They make it look like a really good game. Right. So I don't know. Maybe I would get used to the controls a little bit. I'm not a big fan of the Xbox controller either for platformers, so maybe that would have helped. But I don't know. It looks pretty good in just the little like preview screen thing. Like, it doesn't. Right. There's no jank in that. So maybe it was me.
It could be.
It wasn't just me. But
I mean, we were watching those pixels were not lining up how we were expecting.
Yeah, like if anybody's familiar with like Super Mario Brothers on NES, like if you break a brick, it's like the brick in front and above you. It's the brick above you, really. This one would break the one behind you first, and then you would jump and it would break the one above you.
Right.
Even when you were standing directly underneath of one. It was very weird. The game's been out for 10 years. You'd think they could have patched that. It says 8 to 12 hours of story.
Really? Now, speaking of story, I did like the little intro that it had.
Yeah.
And that was actually kind of funny. It was little exposition on this character you're playing as. I don't know if he had a name, like a 30 something, hasn't done much with his life, and then it turns into like a little bit of a Jumanji situation where he gets pulled into a game cartridge and you're playing through that game. So but how they introduced that concept was actually 10 times better than the actual gameplay that I saw. So that was really fun and pretty comical. But all right.
The music was good too. I want to say that. I'd say this game, I would probably buy it if it was on sale. I wonder, you know, it obviously will go on sale at some point. But yeah, I think it looked with the jank included. Like, none of that shit was game breaking, but the music was good in it. Like, it matched the aesthetic of the game. I liked it. It was good. I know all I did was complain about it, but it was fine. It was good.
Right on. I went up next. I played through a couple minutes of Floppy Knights, which this was a free game on Epic for me, so it was under, it was very inexpensive, obviously. It runs for $20, which is a little, we'll get into it. It actually released earlier this year on Steam, but it was initially back in 2022, so it's a fairly new game, but I did get it for free. It's like a weird mix between a tactics game, but it's a card game. So it's like, in my notes, I wrote down like Pokemon meets Magic the Gathering Arena for like the card builder aspect or deck builder aspect of it. But instead of like your typical card game battle or deck builder game where it's like you and across from you is another player or combatant or whatever, the playing field is like a tactics RPG grid. So a little different. I haven't really played a game like that before, other than like, you know, Hearthstone for the cards, and I don't think I've done any of the tactics games like that. But it was interesting. Way too much dialogue to get going.
Holy shit.
We were trying to start our little 5-minute timers at like after the tutorial, and I'm pretty sure the whole first world is an extended tutorial. So yeah, we would have been in that game for probably 30 plus minutes. But I think we got the gist of it across. There's like a fantasy world, but there's also science involved. So you're the little floppy knights. It's referring to a floppy disk. So your character is like scientifically making these floppy disks hold magical creatures in them, which then fight for you. And that's where the deck and arena thing comes into play, with these little projections on these floppy disks. So cute art style. I actually really did like the art style. I would probably play it again. This might be a good one to just...
Would you play it in public?
I mean, it probably works best with mouse and keyboard. It did let me start with a controller, but it looked a little janky at first. So I think it's easier with mouse and keyboard. So I don't think I'd find myself in the position to play.
Dude, I don't know why I asked that. I'm sorry.
No, I mean, it's a cute looking game. But I think for our little experiment here, it was way too much setup. So I think it's going to take a little bit more time to like really, really get a good feel for it. But I think the basics came across pretty quick.
Did you like the card aspect of it more or the actual gameplay of it more?
Well, I mean, those are kind of one and the same, but I liked how it was doing the cards. Mm-hmm. I think that was interesting because I liked it added some randomness to what you could do. So you have in your deck, it includes your characters you're going to play with, but it also, you have to have move cards or attack cards and stuff like that. So you could have a really bad opening hand and just not be able to do anything. That I don't.
That like. Happened to you. That it actually happened to you.
Yeah. So I don't like when it's 100% randomized, because you could just get a really bad draw. So I'm hoping that either the deck size is going to get to a certain amount to where that becomes less statistically possible, mm-hmm. or you need to just have a standard set of things that you always open with. And I think that would mitigate a lot of the problems that you could potentially have. So I don't know. I like it. I probably won't say I'm not going to play it again, but I think it's good for now.
I'm going to keep an eye out. You better fucking play it, dude.
Yeah, I really liked the theme of the world they were going for, and I liked the art style that they were going for. It's kiddie, it's cartoony, but it was good drawings.
I liked it. Reminded me of like Fairly Odd Parents.
Yeah, a little bit awkward,
or something like that. Yeah, everything was weird.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you liked it. There's a lot of games that not the card part of it, but a lot of games that have that like tactical RPG. It's kind of like a PlayStation 1 version of Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Like how you have to like move and then select attack and then attack the target, and there's like a chance of, I guess in a lot of those games there's like a percent chance that you're going to hit, and you can power up and do all this shit. Yeah.
Watching the the store page go through on Epic and seeing where the cards go and some of the abilities you get and your deck size, it does increase, so you get more cards and all that. Definitely looks like it gets pretty intense and pretty complicated. Yeah,
there's like more units to manage and stuff, I assume.
It becomes a lot more dynamic, I think, the farther you go. So,
holy shit, though, $20 for that.
It's a steep price for the game that you're doing.
I like the music in that one too. Yeah. I want to say.
Yeah.
Actually, spoiler, I like the music in everything we played. I feel like these indie type games.
I didn't get to hear a good volume for the next one you're going to talk about, but I
oh fuck.
If I had to guess, I think it was decent. Just based on what we were saying.
It was my favorite one. It was really cool.
And I think I'm going to agree with you, even though I didn't get to play it. So what is the game we're talking about for the next one?
Cryptarch, 2D shooter, a sci-fi shooter. Very reminiscent of like Metroid or Alien. Very reminiscent of Alien to me. Like everything was just had that kind of like gross living spaceship look to it. But it was not controller compatible, so it's only PC, I guess. But it was cool. Like you're in a like little suit that lets you fly around. You go from your little spaceship into a much larger spaceship, and you have to shut down the security system. That's the first level of it. It's kind of a tutorial, but it's pretty involved. One thing I liked about it, it's very like you do the work and the game shows you how to play it, mm-hmm. rather than like the Floppy Knights one where it's just tutorial for 17 minutes straight with dialogue.
Right.
The story was just conveyed through gameplay well, but it was cool. I liked the setting of it. The music was really good, dude. It had that like gritty kind of Sega shit music to it. Like, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but Sega games had that like gritty sound to it with the sound chip that they had, but it was good. I liked it. It was just the setting was nice. You had like all these different weapons you could do. There was like a shield you could pop, but it would like wear down quickly, so you could time it if you had to. It was cool. There was, I don't know if you noticed, but one of the enemies was reflecting bullets back at me if you hit on the wrong area.
I did not see that.
So yeah, that was the last thing that I did before heading to the final objective.
Gotcha.
It's like the last little security check thing I did. But looking at the video of it, it seems like it gets pretty intense, and that game is only $15. Yeah. I think it's worth $15. I know I got it for free, but
yeah, I think I'd agree. It looks like there's a lot still left to explore.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me like the way Owlboy played too, you know?
Yes, I was going to make that comment earlier, but I think I was drinking at the time.
Yeah, can definitely like that, because you're... And then it has that Metroidvania thing, like every spaceship is just huge and expansive.
Yep.
And yeah, it was good, man. I actually kind of want to play that again sometime.
That's why it's kind of bumming me out that it's not controller compatible from what we can tell in this brief exposure, because I feel like this would be a really fun Steam Deck. Of course, now I say that, it says it's Steam Deck compatible, but I don't know.
It says it has full controller support, but it just didn't work for me.
Gotcha. So yeah, I think if that's the case, I may be putting it on my Steam Deck.
I would do that if I were you. Fun. Yeah, and dude, the intro music and like the intro, you missed the intro because there was an issue with the screen sharing, but the intro is really cool. Like it was just like they just showing like paperwork quickly with like just highlighted sections of like headlines and stuff about what was going on. No like dialogue and shit. And then like, I don't know. It's just cool, man. It set it up good.
It also had voice acting in the small tutorial where they were talking to you, telling you how to like, you know, use your suit and your weapons and all that. There's a guy, a little illustration came up like the codec and Metal Gear Solid or something, but it was a animated little alien head and he was talking to you. It sounded like it was decent quality. I think as you progress through the level and then at the end of it, once you completed your objective, the colonel came on or whatever military person and started talking to you there. So they've actually got some voice acting in there and it sounds decent. It's actually like not a gibberish alien language or
wob, 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 wob.
Yeah, none of that stuff. Like, it's actually fully voice acted, so.
Any complaints?
With a lot of these games like this, sometimes the screens can get really, really busy, and it can stress me out, so I have a fear that that might be one of them. But it does look like it's fun enough that it wouldn't be that bothersome.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm interested to continue playing it.
It's actually a sequel, and it looks like a first-person shooter.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, that company's made a couple games, but... Yeah, I would play it again. I would like to play it again. Maybe we'll just... It looks like two-player co-op. I'm guessing maybe it's couch co-op type thing, but right. It's there. It's what it says.
Oh, cool.
Cool game. What's next, brother?
Next, and I think we can talk about these together. So we played through Cat Quest and Cat Quest 2. We thought Cat Quest 2 was going to be co-op. It's local co-op, which I think Steam, if we like really tried, we could do it. But I think we both might have to have a copy or something. So we didn't end up spending the time to figure it out. So I played Cat Quest 1 for a couple minutes. You played Cat Quest 2 for a couple minutes. They feel exactly the same.
Yep.
Minus the Cat Quest 2 having a second character. But I think for like a quick, like how I took this game... In a nutshell, it's Diablo for kids. It's isometric, cartoony characters, cat puns out the wazoo, but it has that kind of feel. You walk around, you dodge, you throw spells on the ground, you attack with your sword or whatever it is. And that's kind of it. And you're going in like little dungeons and stuff to fight more monsters, finding chests and opening them, a little experience blobs and gold. You find items to do, find armor. You can then like upgrade stuff. Feline Diablo for children, I think is Cat Quest and Cat Quest 2 for sure.
There's also a Cat Quest 3 if anybody's completely blown away by this conversation.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the reason I got Cat Quest 2 was because Cat Quest 3 just came out and it was advertised and it was really cheap. So I was like, yeah. Oh, it's a two-player couch co-op Diablo type game.
Yeah.
Somebody might enjoy that with cat puns in it.
It was also it was free for me. I think I got both of them separately. But they were both free on Epic at some point. Yeah. So when did those release? Because I mean, the art style wise, they look like they're within the last 10 years, if I had to guess.
Sure. Cat Quest came out in 2017. Cat Quest 2 was 2019.
Yeah.
So obviously the same engine, which is Unreal Engine 5, I'm sure.
Yeah. I seeing them played next to each other within minutes of one another, it definitely looks like they just reused a lot of the basic assets.
Yeah.
Which, not saying you have to go through the trouble of like reanimating or reillustrating the gold coins that drop or anything, but I mean it is nice to see when there's slight improvements on things or just something to differentiate it. It looks, you know, if it was just the little experience blobs or the gold coins that drop, but it seemed like it was everything down to the map we were walking on, down to the cat model, down to the little wizards that were there. Everything was the same.
Yeah, when you said that the king in the second game was the king from the first game was like an enemy in the second game, I actually didn't even realize that was a different, like the first game when you said that. I was like, wait, no, we already knew that from this game.
Like,
so it's just felt like you passed the controller to me almost.
Yeah. Weird. Like, I feel like if you opened up the two of them and the only thing that visually to me that you would be able to tell, oh, are you playing one or two, is if you had a secondary character next to you.
Yeah. The dog.
If the dog wasn't there in Cat Quest 2, I don't think, at a quick glance, you could actually tell which one you were playing.
Right.
That's how similarly they look. Which, I mean, if you want to reuse the stuff you already made and paid for to get, fine. But I definitely feel like it's when it's so many things, that's a little, I don't know. Why are we paying $14 for a second game when you nothing's changed?
Aside, you think this game is worth $14?
If
either of them.
So is the base game for Cat Quest 1 14 as well still?
13.
I mean, it's close. I don't know. I feel like if I had went all in on Cat Quest, played it, loved it, and then paid a full price for a second one, and then I'm just doing the same game over again, that I don't like. That I don't think is worth it.
Yeah, like I wouldn't want to play them. Like, let's have a Cat Quest marathon and like blast through all three of them back to back. But if it had been like 2 years in between them, maybe yeah. It'd be fine. Because you have like it was cute. All the little, guess the little cat puns. It was perfect. You might say.
There you go.
Your meowjesty. I don't find that shit that fun. Like I don't. I'm like, oh, cool, another cat pun. Like you know, but. I guess it would be cool like 2 years later if you played it and you were like, oh, you know, that it's a sequel came out.
Right.
And it's on sale for $3.
Cat Quest 1, it seemed like the big background story of the world is that like dragons were gone and your cat person has like dragon powers, but dragons are starting to come back and they might be bad. It's just dragon themed. And then the next one, we didn't get too far into it, but just looking at the box art, it feels like it's otherworldly entities. Like we're going beyond our little world onto like more bigger and greater things. It feels like it could have been a DLC, you know, like, oh, we've got Cat Quest Aliens Rise or something. Like you could have just DLC'd it because you didn't do anything different to the gameplay other than add a second, character to smash their spell on.
The third game is pirate themed, so you get a mix of cat and pirate
interesting
puns if you wanted to.
I have not looked at Cat Quest 3.
Don't worry about it. It's the same game, I'm sure. There is like ship combat in it, but I wasn't interested. It looked less like something I would enjoy.
All right. Well, anyway.
$15? $14?
Yeah, that's a stretch, I think. I don't know. It's hard.
Get it on sale.
$3. Yeah, I'd say get it on sale. It's hard to say when it could, because you are buying a thing that a developer, that like somebody put money towards. Somebody had to go through the work. The process of making it. I don't think it should be, not every game shouldn't be free unless they're making their revenue from something else. I definitely think it should be, if they made a thing and I decide, yes, I want to consume this thing that you've made, I should pay for it in some capacity. But where that threshold should be, I think is the hard thing to nail down. You know, they put a lot of dynamic things into Cat Quest, and it's over $10, and then you've got a game that I think a lot of people like, and we've mentioned recently how, because of how cheap it is, Vampire Survivors, very simple, and it's much cheaper. Yeah. So where's the threshold, right? We're technically getting more, you know, on Cat Quest, though it's simple versus...
I don't know. I think the gameplay content is higher in Vampire Survivors still.
Mm-hmm.
Like the amount of hours you could put into that game is crazy.
True.
So
I think it's an interesting
thing. But it doesn't have cat puns.
True. Very true.
And that's important to some people. It's, I don't know. I'm going to end up playing it probably just a little bit. It's too easy for me. And you'll never convince me that game could possibly be challenging later on. But
right. It's developed by the Gentle Bros.
It's us.
Yeah. All right, Gentle Bro, you want to put a bow on this one?
Yeah, I'll put a fucking bow in that.
I think that's going to do it here for us. I don't think we really need to go through and announce what we're playing next. It changes week to week, just depending on our schedule and what we're able to get through, or if we're doing something like this where we're playing one game, it's going to be a bunch of stuff. So,
Cryptarch.
We're going to play Cryptarch next. hopefully by our next recording, I'll have a little bit more energy. I'll be a little bit more recovered and back to normal. So, but thanks for listening. I think that's going to do it for us. We will see you next time.
Have a great week, everybody.